somewhat of a flighty, noncommittal generation. So what we're going to do is to refuse to be defined by that. We're going to push back, and we're going to rise to the occasion and say, God, you make me the man or the woman that you want me to be. We don't have to be victims. We don't have to be defined by a study of demographics. And I think that generally they may be true, but what we're saying is, as the church, that's not going to be true for us. We're going to live and operate by different spirit. Generalizations sometimes mean they're generally true, but again, we're going to be of the spirit of Daniel, who is 10 times better than his colleagues. And I believe that God is giving his church in this hour an extraordinary spirit to be set apart, to be morally excellent, to be people of their word, to go the extra mile. And it doesn't mean that we're always preaching 24/7, although we need to open our mouths. We've discussed that when we opened the series on the year of the gospel. But we also, in tandem with that, live in such a way that there is a provocation. St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel wherever you go, and if necessary, use words. Well, we believe it's not either or, it's both and. But we want to live big lives. And so I got a little bit tickled as I was looking at this demographic study. And there's several that are out there. And I'm sure that some of you are familiar with a different category of the traditionalists that were born between the year of 1900 and 1945. The baby boomers, 1946 to 1964. Gen X, 1965 to 1980. And the millennials, 1981 to 2000. And different studies have a little overlap in some of these different charts of when the birth ages, came about. The current age for traditionalists would be today, they'd be 63 to 86. Baby boomers would be 44 to 62. Gen X, 28 to 43. The millennials, 8 to 27. And so with those that were born between 1900 and 1945, some of the big names in that category would be Bob Dole or Elizabeth Taylor. The baby boomers, names like Bill Clinton, Meryl Streep, Gen X, Barack Obama, Jennifer Lopez. Millennials, Ashton Kutcher and Serena Williams, just to give a few. These are some of the names that mark these generations. The traditionalists are also known as the veterans or the GI generation. Baby boomers are known also as the me generation. Generation X are known as busters or 20-something. The millennials are known as Gen Y. You know why? It's supposed to be the letter Y, but it's also a play on the letter Y as to W-H-Y, Y. Also, they're known as the mosaics, the next generation, and nexters. So with every generation, there's an upside and there's a downside. So do we have any traditionalists or what's also been categorized as builders in the house here this morning? I don't think so because, okay, one, good to see you. We do a lot with youth culture, so I knew it would be along the other categories. Baby boomers, Gen X, millennials. All right. And again, all these different demographic studies, they change a little bit, but the traditionalists, there were some different formative experiences, and this has a little bit to do with the message, but I just thought this is just good stuff to know. And we've said before, we want to exegete scripture, but we also want to exegete culture and know what are we up against? Because mindsets shift. And it's interesting, like a format that may have worked in Billy Graham's day may not possibly work today. The message has not changed. But when you're reaching out to a different generation with different mindset, you have to tweak what you're doing to fit that generation, keeping the message constant, but yet relating with them in a different way. Even in our educational systems, for those that are in college, it's different than a generation ago. Generation ago, it was very much lecture style. Now there's a participatory style where students won't end on the actual class. I mean, back in our day, the professor taught and that was it. It wasn't like, well, you know, excuse me, time out. I'm not quite sure about that. I mean, we would have never done that in our day out of fear that they would give us a bad grade. But now it's more of a participatory nature and it's involvement and there's pushback. There's room for pushback and it's a different style of learning. with the traditionalists. Some of the things that marked that generation was World War II, the Roaring Twenties, the Great Depression, Pearl Harbor, rationing, Korean War, atomic bomb, FDR administration. The boomers, you had the Cold War, civil rights, space race, assassinations, Vietnam War, energy crisis, Watergate, Nixon administration. The busters, things like Roe versus Wade, the Challenger disaster, fall of the Berlin Wall, Persian Gulf War, AIDS, Clinton administration, Reagan assassination attempt. For the millennials, there's the World Trade Center, the Pentagon attacked, Oklahoma bombings, the internet access, kids shooting kids, death of Princess Diana and Mother Teresa, Chads, McVeigh execution, globalization, George W. With the traditionalists, in the family structure, closed family, the boomers, dispersed family, busters, latchkey kids, and the millennials, comfortable with looser family structure. We could go on and on. It's really interesting how things change. Teenage experience of the traditionalist is the Great Depression. Teenage experience of the boomers, Kent State, civil rights, Watergate, runaway inflation, sexual revolution, etc. The busters, information explosion, AIDS, environmental lows, $1 trillion debt. Thank you. We need to apologize to a whole generation for that. Lord help us. The bridgers or the millennials, overwhelming information, cynicism, downsizing. And this particular study was done in 2002, so there's more information that's been added. The war during the time of the builders or the traditionalists, it was win a war, World War I, World War II, Korean War. With the boomers, why a war, Vietnam. With the busters, watch a war. How many of y'all remember watching the Gulf? It was a whole nother way of, I mean, just think that with 24/7 news, we were able to watch someone apprehended in a boat with the technology to look through the tarp and pick up body heat and find out the exact position of where he was laying. So the busters, watch a war, the Iran hostage crisis, Desert Storm live on TV. The millennials, war on terrorism, anthrax, schoolyard killings, gangs. We could go on and on. Entertainment with the builders, radio, no TV. The boomers, TV, three channels. Busters, 30 channels. The bridgers are millennials, surfing the net, DVD. It's just funny. Hair, the builders, short hair. Boomers, long hair. Busters, any hairstyle. Bridgers, bleach, spike, bald, whatever goes. Cultural icons, builders, big band. The boomers, Rolling Stones, busters, Madonna, U2, Michael Jackson, David Matthews Band, bridgers, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Jennifer Lopez, Tiger Woods, on and on and on we could go. Religious characteristics, the builders, committed to church, support foreign missions, enjoy Bible study, loyal to denominations, worship and reverence. The boomers, committed to relationship, want to belong, supportive of people, want experiences with their faith. Busters, committed to family, local causes, short attention span, denominations, not important, want faith that meets needs, wants less structure. Bridgers are the millennials, committed to family, biblically illiterate, ouch, spiritually hungry. That's why spirituality, it's not are you a believer, but are you spiritual? That's how even the dialogue has changed these days. Multiple expressions of worship, all ideas are equal. Judge not, so no one will judge you. Highly tolerant and open. And let me just stop there. I mean, it is a fascinating study. So what we're trying to say is we want to understand culture. And we also want to say we're not going to play into the caricature. Wherever you fit in this grid, there's an upside to the demographic age that you were born. There's a downside. But again, we're saying I'm not going to allow the generalization to determine who I is. I'm going to allow the Word of God. I'm going to allow what's right to define my character and my outlook on life. So a good place to start this morning is Galatians 5, verse 22. And there's a listing of 9 fruit of the Spirit. We talked about a week ago how there's also a corresponding 9 gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. But it reads here, the fruit of the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. The reason there is no law against this is this describes the very makeup of our God. We mentioned a week ago that in a marriage, when you have children, the father determines the gender. There's something about Father God that can determine the attributes of his spiritual children. And these nine fruit are our inheritance as believers. We may not be fully developed in them yet, but we're on our way. How many of y'all are a little further along where you were possibly a year ago in your walk with the Lord? Thank God for it. As we've said many times, thank God we're not where we used to be. We're not where we want to be, but thank God we're not where we used to be. We're in progress, and we're under construction, and we're on our way. Justification is instantaneous. Sanctification is a process, and we're allowing God to work these character qualities in our life. I want to read this same text to you in the Message, and I'm going to recap a little bit from last week, and then we'll spring forward today. The same text written by Eugene Peterson in his translation, The Message. He says it this way: "But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity,